Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we would like to recommend.
And we are starting a new trend here, where we have two readers with us who have two different books. We have Jamie Eustace, our library director, and Lisa Coker, who we are holding hostage until she conducts this interview. Why are we talking to you guys about these two different books simultaneously?
Because I said so. No, because I am reading The Clockmaker's Daughter by Kate Morton.
And I'm reading Once Upon a River by Diane Setterfield.
And
there are two great books that podcast great together.
It's like chocolate and peanut butter. Seriously, I was reading it, and Kate Morton and Diane Setterfield have a lot in common. And when I found out Lisa was reading Once Upon a River, I said, we've got to do this together. Because basically, although I've not read Once Upon a River, I think they're almost the same book.
And when were they both released?
A few weeks ago. Like within a week of each other. I think they're like twins. They were born, they're Irish twins. They were born very close together.
And Diane Setterfield's previous book, The 13th Tale.
Yes. The 13th Tale, it was kind of funny. I was looking back on my Audible history, and it is the first book I ever downloaded and listened to on Audible. And it, to this day, remains one of my favorites.
And I adore all of Kate Morton's books. So lots of crossover here, Jamie.
Yes. Yes, lots of crossover. They're both very similar. They're like modern gothic fiction writers, so all of their books have a lot of similarities.
So tell us a little bit about the books that you read.
All right, this book is the reason I learned to read in the first place.
It
is amazing. What Diane Setterfield does with language, it is like I understand every word that she's saying. I've used every word that she's used, but I have never put them in this order. It's like poetry in novel form. It is marvelous. Every way that she describes a setting and every line of dialogue that comes out of someone's mouth, I always wonder, how are they going to address that? And then the perfect line comes out. It's set in 1837 in a little English town on the Thames in an inn called the Swan. And there's lots of storytelling elements to it, kind of Canterbury Tales almost. The setting is super important, characters are important, and plot not so much. But the language is super great too.
And that's usually the type of book that really gets you excited, right?
Very excited, yes.
To give everyone an image, while Lisa was talking, Jamie was both nodding and shaking her head.
At the same time. Basically, it's because she also just described the book that I am reading, which is a totally different book, but same thing. It takes place in the 1800s on that river in the woods with a big manor house. So, and like the 13th Tale, if anybody remembers that, the house is a big character in the book. So I think
Is your house a big character? My river is a big character.
My house and my river are big characters.
Would you say the same thing about the book that you read, that the plot was not as important as the atmosphere and the setting? And
I would give them equal importance. I mean, and I think Lisa may be underestimating her plot, because the 13th Tale had a huge, like, big secret plot. You definitely had to keep reading to find out what was true. All of Kate Morton's books, like The Secret Garden, House at Riverton, The Lake House, Distant Hours, it's all past and present, a lot of flashback and everything, this big secret or this big event that you need to get to the bottom of ties everything together. So it's super atmospheric, but also I still want to know what the truth is.
Definitely more plotty in all of these books. There's a really interesting mystery to this. There's a girl who may or may not be what she seems, but it never really gets gripping. Until towards the, well, okay, I haven't actually finished the book, but I have read the end of it, and it is very satisfying.
You are one of those people.
I'm not afraid of spoilers.
Cheater, cheater. Yeah, I'm about an hour away from being done with mine, so I still don't know the full secret, but I'm getting there.
As I've worked in a library for longer, I find myself less afraid of spoilers, because I'm like, no, tell me if it's going to be worth it.
Okay, well, I'm going to read the last paragraph, because it is the best last paragraph I have ever read in my whole life. As a matter of fact, the first couple of paragraphs are the best.
Are there any spoilers in this last paragraph?
No spoilers, okay. I promise. No spoiler alert.
You heard it here first, readers.
And now, dear reader, the story is over. It is time for you to cross the bridge once more and return to the world you came from. This river, which is and is not the Thames, must continue flowing without you. You have haunted here long enough. And besides, you surely have rivers of your own to attend to. Isn't that beautiful?
It is. I may follow that up by reading the first line, or what I think is the first line of my book. I don't actually have it here. It's all checked out, but I was listening to it, and this is what I remember the first line being. My real name, no one remembers. The truth about that summer, no one else knows. So
excellent.
Very secrety. Hey,
we're both listening on Access 360. How is your narrator?
Amazing.
Mine too. She does the guys
it's,
great.
It's probably the same narrator.
Very well by me.
Yeah, no, she does all the voices, and sometimes I have a hard time believing it's the same actress reading. But
And the most romantic marriage proposal I have ever read. I couldn't find it before we started this. It is amazing.
Even beating Pride and Prejudice?
I was just going to say, it feels like a Jane Austen book or a Charles Dickens book. It's just so, it transcends language.
Transcends language. There's just pictures.
It's just pictures in my head.
So what kinds of readers do you think would be ideal for these two books? And do you think it's the same for both?
Yes, all readers who like to read big books.
This book, it's a little different than what I usually listen to because I have to really be paying attention. Like, usually I can multitask. Mm-hmm. You could probably walk, but you wouldn't want to do anything that required any other mental exercise because it takes a lot of focus and patience. Mm-hmm. It is kind of a slow-moving book.
That's a complaint that people have about these books in general, all the ones that Morton's written in Satterfield. If you don't pay attention, you may lose something because this book, anyway, has a lot of characters, and it takes place in at least two time periods, but I think three time periods, so it's easy to get confused if you don't pay attention.
And there's a lot of repetition in Satterfield's book. Like, the solstice keeps coming up, and there's this line, something's going to happen, keeps coming up. There are these different phrases and themes, and if you're not paying attention, you really lose out.
Mm-hmm. Would you recommend it as an audiobook over print, or...?
Yes, because I love listening.
Me too.
Yeah,
me too. They're some of the best audios. We should have brought who the narrators are in, because I have a feeling they may be the same, but they're very, very good.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get to the game show portion, since you gave us a little bit about each book. Suppose you have cast the main characters for us?
I did try to, but it's hard because, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be, so now, like, all the actors and actresses I think of are in their 40s and 50s, and that's not always appropriate for these roles, so I had to Google some stuff, and I found this actress, the main character, the storyteller in my book, Kate Morton's book, has flaming red hair, mm-hmm. So of course I went to Julianne Moore, but she's too old. Sorry, Julianne. So I found this actress called Rachel Hurd Wood. I don't know if anybody knows who she was. I think she played Wendy in Peter Pan a long time ago.
Okay.
She's very pretty and has red hair and blue eyes. And then this English actor guy named Aaron Taylor Johnson. You'll have to look them up. They're not famous yet, but when this movie comes out and they cast them on my recommendation, that will be their big launch.
Okay.
I have no idea, but I could tell you what food and drink to pair it with.
Okay, do that.
Yeah, because just coming back from lunch, they keep talking about fresh bread and butter with honey and a nice stout ale.
That actually sounds delightful.
And tea. You have to have tea several times during the course of these books.
Okay, so since you started off our question round, we can go to Jamie, ask a question about her book.
Do you think your main character made good or bad choices?
Oh, wow. So the main character I'm considering, the one who's telling the story, the title character, the clockmaker's daughter, and I think she made very bad choices.
Any hints or...
She's a pickpocket, and takes up that lifestyle for a while. Not because she's a bad person, she just had some unfortunate luck. So there was the pickpocketing that was kind of unfortunate, and then she gets involved with a man who's already engaged, which I do not recommend to anyone.
It would be a different kind of podcast.
Yep.
Okay, so you mentioned, Lisa, that the house was a main character in your book. Tell us about the house.
Okay, it's actually not a house, it's an inn called The Swan. So I'm going to read a couple lines. The Swan was a very ancient inn, perhaps the most ancient of them all. It had been constructed in three parts. One was old, one was very old, and one was older still. And all of the elements had been harmonized by the thatch that roofed them, the lichen that grew on the old stones, and the ivy that scrambled up the walls. It just keeps getting better and better.
Sounds very British.
And also on the cover, since we're talking about the swan, so the inn is the swan where they all, mm-hmm. they're all master storytellers. And the cover, it's obviously a swan's
oh
neck, but it also looks like the river.
Oh,
like
until you look
river.
At the top corner, you can't yes. tell that it's a swan.
Yeah.
It's a very pretty cover.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very clever.
Jamie.
Yes.
What was the emotional tone of your story?
Gothic. Dun, dun, dun. it was heavy. You mm-hmm. know, there's a lot of unfortunate things going on to people. Mm-hmm. So it's a very heavy mood book.
Okay.
So, Lisa, what is the significance of the title?
Again, it has to do with the story telling element of it. In the people in the inn are all these master storytellers, and all of the stories revolve around the River Thames. And then to make it even bigger, all of the stories and all of the big themes like life and death and love and lust and grief and everything that's contained in this book, Setterfield ties in those stories with the river. It's very symbolic.
Jamie?
Yes?
Did this book grow on you, or did you immediately like it?
It had to grow on me a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's always weird when you're listening to a book, like when you start in your car or start wherever you start, you're not always in the right mood.
Yeah.
So I tend to listen while I'm driving home, and I have really high expectations of Kate Morton books. Like, there has to be a secret, and I have to want to know. So it took me a little while, because it starts in contemporary, mm-hmm. and then it goes backwards into the history part of it. So I was a little bit not enthralled when they were in the contemporary period, but once they got back to the 1800s and the river and the manor house, then I was super into it.
Okay.
Okay, Katie, can
yes.
I answer that question as well?
Sure.
Because I had very high expectations that were only blown out of the water. I bought this as a gift for my niece for Christmas, mm-hmm. and I'm keeping this copy and giving her
own copy. If Lisa's niece is listening.
Yeah, sorry.
It's, your present yeah. will be delayed.
Yes.
And spoiler alert.
All of the pages are marked up.
So, Lisa, where do you do most of your listening?
When I'm walking.
Okay.
Cooking, cleaning. Yeah, those three things.
Okay. I think that would probably be what driving. I had to do.
Yeah.
Driving. I don't drive enough to listen to books. It's too chopped up. So you do not have your book with you, but we will give you a chance to enjoy the lyrical nature of your book that you enjoy so much. Give us another sneak peek.
Okay. Does the occurrence of one impossible thing increase the likelihood of a second?
I'm still thinking about that.
Scientifically, no.
I'm not sure.
But philosophically,
yes.
Who knows?
In this magical land, it might.
Yes.
Yes. I have a philosophical line from my book that I wrote down
okay.
also. Life's only nod to fairness was the blindness with which it dealt unfair blows. Bum, bum, bum.
The sound you keep making works perfectly.
And of course, the truth depends on who is telling the story.
That's a good one for anybody. Okay, so is there anything else you wanted to add about your two very similar books?
I would say, I know this isn't the right episode, but these do make good gifts, and the holidays are coming.
Yeah, this will be out before Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. You heard it here, folks.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.
Bye.